Well, it's pretty much the Trump show today, from his comments on not attending the G20 in South Africa in November to his punishment of India for its ties with Russia, and speculation from multiple quarters on what happens tomorrow for South Africa when the Trump tariffs are expected to take effect. It's Thursday, the 31st of July. This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. Trump holds a number of press briefings on board Air Force One, and in his latest such briefing while returning from Scotland, he casually remarked in response to a question about his attendance of the G20 in November in South Africa that he probably won't be attending in person.
Do you plan to attend the G20 summit this year in South Africa?
I don't think so, no. I think maybe I'll send somebody else, because I've had a lot of problems with South Africa, and they have some very bad policies. Very, very bad policies, like policies where people are being killed. A lot of people are being killed. So I think I probably won't.
Any update?
I'd like to, but I don't think I will.
Trump's latest remarks appear to undercut the sentiment expressed by President Cyril Ramaphosa that he expected Trump to attend the summit in November. That's after visiting him at the well-documented White House visit in May.
We also discussed the G20, and we stressed that the G20, having been formed by the United States, of course, together with other countries, it's important that the United States should continue playing a key role in the G20, more particularly because I want to hand over the presidency of the G20 to President Trump in November. And I said, he needs to be there. I don't want to hand over the presidency of the G20 to an empty chair. I want to hand it over to him sitting in that chair in November. And he is going to give serious consideration to it. In fact, I expect him to be coming.
Turning our attention to the Trump tariffs, the US will impose 25% tariffs on goods imported from India, plus an unspecified penalty that's for their relationship with Russia. And Trump said he would take measures from tomorrow. He described India as a friend whose tariffs are far too high, among the highest in the world. He also criticized India's purchases of Russian military equipment and energy.
This is quite a statement from the President of the United States. It came just moments ago. So if you just tune in, I'll share it with you now and read it out verbatim. While India is our friend, we have over the years done relatively little business with them because their tariffs are far too high. The president goes on to say, among the highest in the world, and they have the most strenuous and obnoxious non-monetary trade barriers of any country. Also, and this is the additional point the president makes this morning, they have always bought a vast majority of their military equipment from Russia and are Russia's largest buyer of energy, along with China, at a time when everyone wants Russia to stop the killing in Ukraine. All things not good. India will therefore be paying a tariff of 25% plus a penalty for the above starting on August 1st. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
And it goes to the heart of how Russia has been an increasing part of his negotiations, trying to tighten the screws there. And really coming as a surprise at a time when a lot of people were expecting the end tariff rate on India to be something around 20 or 19%. So highlighting a change in tone around Russia and a change in tone around what the parameters are of negotiation for some of these new trade agreements.
Going into that deadline this coming Friday.
Hermanus is a man from this windy little town called Yaku. Sorry, other way around. Yaku's from Hermanus. Yaku, we need to talk about your upgrade problem.
I don't have an upgrade problem.
Two Audis, an Opel, a Kia, and a Hyundai. It's five cars, Yaku. Denial.
And just love cars. And we buy cars that make it so much easier for you and convenient. You sell your car. You want to try it?
Okay, just once. Turn off the cameras.
I see how this is addictive.
Take two of those. We buy cars. The easiest way to sell your car by far.
A On the subject of South Africa and Trump tariffs, the presidency says they have been hard at work on repairing US-SA relations ahead of the 1st of August tariff deadline. Here's presidential spokesperson Vincent Mgwenya in a recent ENCA interview.
We've done a lot over and above the president going to Washington and meeting President Trump at the Oval Office. We've had follow-up delegations going to the U.S., interacting with White House officials. Digi Dango has been there. Other officials have gone to the U.S. There have been engagements at an embassy level here, engagements with various officials in the State Department as well as at the White House. A lot of it not taking place in front of cameras, as diplomacy will have it, but we are reasonably satisfied that we've put in the necessary effort at one, resetting the relationship, and out of that, getting the trade to be at the level that, at the very least, it has been, if not growing that trade between ourselves and the U.S.
Despite the presidency's confidence, Ryan Smith, the newly appointed Democratic Alliance's spokesperson on international relations and cooperation, says the chances of South Africa cutting a last-minute deal with the United States to avert the 30% export tariffs due to come into effect tomorrow are extremely slim.
It is quite concerning that South Africa has left it really to the last minute, that there's been no proactive approach to the trade negotiations with the United States under Donald Trump. And it really shows a lack of proactivity, I think, on South Africa's economic diplomacy's part, because the art of diplomacy is to preempt political shifts with your trading partners and to really be proactive in predicting what might come of that. We know that Trump was approaching trade relations with the US first, America first position, and South Africa should have been prepared for that. And I think we really were caught by surprise on a matter where we really should have been prepared. So I would say there's definitely a huge amount of negligence on the ANC's part, certainly in the foreign affairs and trade portfolio. That being said, I know that the current trade relations are subject to a non-disclosure agreement, so we don't have any sight of what's happening behind the scenes. But we saw the communique that came out from Minister Parks Tau yesterday saying that discussions are still underway, that the deal is still being concocted. But it really is a race against time, because remember, we're not just looking for a deal for South Africa, but we're competing with similar countries that have similar products that they would like to export to the United States at the same time.
Davi Root, chief economist at the Efficient Group, weighs in with his thoughts, given the widely different views being thrown around with respect to the Trump tariffs and South Africa.
I don't know what's going on, Brunwyn, but based on my experience from government and analyzing the way that they've been doing business the last couple of years, decades, in fact, I think the DA is probably closer to the truth than the ANC themselves. So usually what happens is that our government waits until number 99, and then there's the scramble and trying to make some sort of deal, and I suspect this is what's happening now as well. I don't think there's much progress going on.
So what does this mean? I mean, Davi, we saw Trump coming out heavy-handed on India, given he's put 25% tariffs on Indian goods. And then he's also saying that he's going to punish them further for their relations with Russia. Now, it's well known that the U.S. has spoken out against our relations with both Russia and Iran. Are we going to be in the firing line?
We must understand, Bronwyn, that this is not about politics, or rather, this is not about economics. This is about politics. If you look at the size of the South African economy, if you try to determine how important the South African economy is to the United States economy, we are basically irrelevant. This cannot be about economics. It must be about politics. So, and I think what Donald Trump is trying to achieve is to get South Africa to reconsider our relations with certain countries. You mentioned Iran, for example, and certain other international organizations. And this is basically Donald Trump trying to force us to reconsider our relations with these organizations. But it cannot be about the economics, because South Africa is a tiny economy, and South Africa is not going to make any difference to the US economy. It is going to make a huge impact on the South African economy, these tariffs, but the Americans won't even know about this. The South African economy, if you look at percentages, the South African economy is something like 0.3% of the world economy. The whole of Africa is something like 3% of the world economy. The United States is 20-25% of the world economy. So it is not. It makes me think of a little dog with a you can't bite, but you can make a lot of noise. And I think Donald Trump is more concerned about the noise, and certainly not about our bite.
We have heard repeatedly, Davi, from Cyril that he will not be bullied. Do you think he's going to have to retrace on that stance?
You will be bullied, whether you like Donald Trump or not. Also keep in mind is that we're talking about the possibility of 13% tariffs, which seems to me a fait accompli. I think it's going to happen. But he can always increase it to 50%. I mean, this guy can do whatever he wants to. But that's not all. He's got a lot of other things that he can do to really, really hurt South Africa. Say, for example, we know that they're considering sanctions against certain individuals in South Africa. But say, for example, he decides to implement certain financial sanctions against South Africa. That's going to be far more damaging than these trades, the trade tariffs that we have currently, or probably going to have tomorrow morning. So I don't think for one single moment this is a discussion between equals. We are not talking about equals here. Donald Trump might be a bully, but he's by far the strongest bully on the playground. And you don't mess with a bully. That's just the reality of life.
Right now, you can get the cheapest Forex rate around, right here, on Shift. Pay less for your dollars, pounds, and euros here, and get to shop more here, and do more here, and enjoy more ooh-la-la here. Shift also lets you trade and transfer currencies, and buy shares in the world's best companies. It all happens right here, on Shift. You won't find a cheaper Forex rate anywhere else, no matter where you bank. Download the Shift app today.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Staying with our Trump theme, battered U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell yesterday held the key U.S. interest rate steady, defying Trump's demands for aggressive cuts. The Federal Open Market Committee voted 9-2 to keep the federal funds rate set in a range between 4.25% to 4.5%. The decision was met with opposition from two governors, both of whom have advocated for the Fed to start easing. This was the first time since late 1993 that multiple governors cast no votes on a rate decision. During a news conference, Powell said the FOMC hadn't yet made a decision about what they would do at a September meeting.
Changes to government policies continue to evolve, and their effects on the economy remain uncertain. Higher tariffs have begun to show through more clearly to prices of some goods, but their overall effects on economic activity and inflation remain to be seen. A reasonable base case is that the effects on inflation could be short-lived, reflecting a one-time shift in the price level. But it is also possible that the inflationary effects could instead be more persistent, and that is a risk to be assessed and managed. Our obligation is to keep longer-term inflation expectations well anchored and to prevent a one-time increase in the price level from becoming an ongoing inflation problem. For the time being, we're well positioned to learn more about the likely course of the economy and the evolving balance of risks before adjusting our policy stance. We see our current policy stance as appropriate to guard against inflation risks. We're also attentive to risks on the employment side of our mandate. In coming months, we will receive a good amount of data that will help inform our assessment of the balance of risks and the appropriate setting of the federal funds rate. At this meeting, the committee continued its discussions as part of our five-year review of our monetary policy framework. We focused on potential revisions to our statement on longer-run goals and monetary policy strategy, and are on track to wrap up any modifications by late summer. The Fed has been assigned two goals for monetary policy: maximum employment and price and stable prices. We remain committed to supporting maximum employment, bringing inflation sustainably to our 2% goal, and keeping longer-term inflation expectations well anchored. Our success in delivering on these goals matters to all Americans. We understand that our actions affect communities, families, and businesses across the country. Everything we do is in service to our public mission. We at the Fed will do everything we can to achieve our maximum employment and price stability goals.
The findings of a forensic investigation into a more than 800 million rand oxygen plant tender awarded by the Independent Development Trust has now been made public. At the center of the saga is IDT CEO Teboho Malaka and General Manager for Supply Chain Management Molebedi Sisi. Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure Dean McPherson announced the findings of the report during a press briefing yesterday. The forensic investigation was conducted by PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Accountability must follow, and it will follow. South Africans deserve to know how their money is spent and how it is misused. I'm confident that the board will consider the report's recommendations and other related matters in due course. We are not just reacting to a scandal. We're using it as an opportunity to get things right in our entities and our department. Public works and infrastructure has immense potential to be a force for good in South Africa. It can generate income for the state to be used in social infrastructure. It can save the country billions of rands in leased accommodation for departments, and its assets can be used for public good. That's why we must use every opportunity to better our systems and to build towards this goal to which I am so deeply committed to.
On the earnings front, Microsoft reported better than expected growth in its cloud business and said spending on AI infrastructure hit a record. Caroline Hyde from Bloomberg has all the details.
Where do you want to start, Microsoft or Meta?
I just think for both of them, the context, these are trillion-dollar companies and they're managing to post, for Meta, more than 20% growth in terms of revenue quarter on quarter, much ahead of expectations, and signaling it's going to be 25% potentially for the next quarter, that Microsoft's still managing to build up 18% growth. Isn't that extraordinary? We have companies that valuable growing at that rate of run rate. And the fact that for Microsoft, a nuance here, we're actually getting an Azure number for the first time. Yes. Read that out, that $75 billion. They've never split that out for us. We can finally really see how the bang in CapEx buck is happening for generative AI.
So how much room does that give them to spend more? Because if you're seeing Meta post these numbers while also committing to even the higher end of their range, upping the low end of the range for CapEx spend, does it give these two companies is just a boatload of firepower to spend more money on AI?
And particularly for Meta, where they've shown that it helps their product. The generative AI is making their advertising more easy to use. Marketeers want to lean into it. No wonder you're seeing the pricing of those ads going up by about 9%. They're able to charge more broadly. Mm-hmm. And they're also trying to articulate, what does superintelligence labs mean for them? Yes, they've been spending in CapEx, but boy, have they been spending big on talent. We've heard about the $200 million pay packages, the amount they spent on Scale AI. But all of this is about making it more personable. You're going to have a superintelligence helper for your personal reasons. That's what Mark Zuckerberg's trying to get across here. And it helps his business because he's trying to sort of throw shade on some of the, well, enterprise needs that we've seen. And look, you're not going to be using your software app so much. You're going to be using my app more, and therefore the vindication in the CapEx comes through.
That brings us to the end of this BizNews briefing. We'll be back on Monday with more context on both the local and global front. Thanks, as always, for joining us.